We take you to Ukraine and Joseph Lindsley. Joe, I imagine weekends, weekdays, it's all the same when you're there in Ukraine where you are. What's happening today?
Bob, hello from Kyiv. In many ways, yeah, the days do, it's hard to know what a weekend is versus a weekday. Although I would say now that it's March 4th, for Ukrainians, spring really begins with the 1st of March. And, you know, if my two headlines from Ukraine, you know, that I would want Americans to understand today would be, one, Russia's winter offensive has failed. And two, illegal immigrants murder Odessa Christians. I'll explain both of those. The first on the Russian winter offensive, I mean, here it is. That you can noticeably feel spring in the air here in Kyiv. And this, you know, all winter and, you know, even going back into the last summer, many headlines and experts were warning that it was going to be a terrible, atrocious winter for Ukrainians, that Russia was going to freeze them out worse than they did last winter. And, you know, as I was just taking an elevator, and I recalled how scary it was to take an elevator in Kyiv a year ago. And almost every elevator in this city and cities around the country had a care package with some books and some snacks and water, because inevitably people would get stuck for an hour or two due to the power outages caused by Russia's infrastructure attacks. None of that happened this winter. And you can feel that here today. It's March 4th, and Russia's winter offensive has failed. They didn't even seem to try to attack Ukrainian infrastructure. Perhaps they realized that despite that brutal winter last year, it did not change Ukrainian resolve one bit. And so this should be a major success. It is a major success story, and it should be a major headline. The Ukrainian word for February is lute, which means ferocious. And in the minds of many Ukrainians, you know, this is still the full-scale invasion began in February. It's always February. But I would say that there's a feeling that when people talk about this, people smile and they say, wow, this was, you know, this winter was not bad, and this is a sign of Ukrainian strength. On the other side, you know, there's always a flip side. It was a very brutal weekend in certain parts of Ukraine, especially in the city of Odessa. That's my second headline. Illegal immigrants murder Odessa Christians. Those illegal immigrants are illegal Russian invaders armed with ballistic missiles and Iranian drones, and they attacked an apartment building, among other places, in Odessa, and several children were killed. A four-month-old Timofey, who died died along with her mother, three-year-old Mark, eight-month-old Liza, nine-year-old Serhii, and eight-year-old Zlata were all killed during, in addition to many adults, during Russia's attack on Odessa Friday night, in which they used the suicide drones supplied by Iran. And this, you know, I think for everyone here, you keep thinking it's impossible to get madder or more frustrated or shaken up. And then yet there's something like this that, you know, it never becomes normal, of course. And so people are, it's sort of in deep sadness because of this attack on the city of Odessa. And, you know, Kyiv is very well protected by missile defense systems from the West. But Ukraine doesn't have enough of those, doesn't have enough Patriot systems to protect, this, which is the largest country totally within Europe. So while we have this amazing success story of a failed Russian winter offensive, these atrocities, especially further away from Kyiv, continue very frequently.
Reading about that family, and it was just heartbreaking. Let me read a couple of texts, Joseph. Hello, Bob. Anyone complaining about funding Ukraine is truly a fool and or a classic isolationist. Remember, Hitler didn't stop at annexing Austria or Czechoslovakia. And then we do hear from people who have this opinion. No more money for Ukraine. Let's fix our border and take care of the USA. Europe needs to step up. It's crazy. And this is the thing that really drives me crazy, Joe. I don't know if you think about this. I call it the either or mindset. You can do more than one thing at once. People used to talk about this with the space program. Why are we going to the moon when we have disease and all these problems on Earth? Well, it doesn't mean you can't do both. We can walk and chew gum at the same time. You know what I mean, Joe?
Exactly. And this is a frustration I have with Washington. You know, I used to work in D.C. and familiar with the way it works. And both Republicans and Democrats are allowing Ukraine to be the cudgel for everything. And, you know, why does the border, you know, fixing that problem have to be contingent upon Ukraine? And in fact, it doesn't. I think we've seen that when the threat of no funding for Ukraine is not enough to make the White House compromise on the border. It's not, which tells you that maybe they don't care so much. I think you can tell. I mean, you know, the White House never says the word victory. I think there is a lot of fear there in the way the policy is shaped. A very different policy that you see from the United Kingdom, for example. And so if Republicans really wanted to solve the border problem and fix it and take it off the table as something to ever debate about again, they could use, you know, find a pain point that the White House cares about. And we forget this, but, you know, the U.S. House has the power of the purse, according to the Constitution. So no money goes anywhere without the House's permission. They don't really use this power, perhaps because it would give them, you know, more responsibility. But, you know, if they really wanted to solve the border problem, the House Appropriations Committee could actually say, we're giving no more money to the White House. No more money, no coffee or whatever. Just cut it off. They could actually do that. They have every bit of power. Instead, they prefer to use Ukraine, or, you know, and there's like a million issues in between that they could also use, a million different programs. But they prefer to use Ukraine as the cudgel. And this is where, you know, you see few voices of leadership in the U.S. Who, you know, recognize not only, you know, recognize the threat, but also recognize the investment, the support that the U.S. has sent has, you know, helped Ukraine hold on. And in fact, you know, so much so that this Russia's second annual winter offensive has failed. And this could give people encouragement to say, hey, we can, you know, if we give more support, we can really turn this around. Meanwhile, as we speak, in a place that's still very cold in Scandinavia, NATO is having major exercises. Some 20,000 soldiers, NATO soldiers, are you know, because Finland has a massive border with Russia, and so, you know, there's lots of preparing happening in case, you know, things get worse and this fight spreads to other countries. But I think the perspective here is, if you give Ukrainians what they need, they can put a stop to this. If you send air defense and Patriot missiles to Kharkiv, to Odessa, you can prevent children from dying in their beds. And if you send long-range weapons like the Attackams and the HIMARS and the German Taurus, you can push the Russians back into Russia. So that's where the situation is. As always, a mix of hopeful news and also discouraging.
I think you and I need a trip to Washington, D.C., Joe. Talk to some people over there. But until then, we press on here.
I would, if we set that up, I would leave Ukraine for a few days in order to do that.
Yeah, I'm sure you would. Anything for the cause. Until tomorrow. Thank you, Joseph.
Until tomorrow. Thank you, Bob.